Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
He didn't invent the quarterback.
How are you doing?
But he did invent quarterback tears. Tears. Here's our NFL insider, Mike Sando of The Athletic, on the program.
Fourth quarter of the program begins right now. That's right. Fourth quarter begins right now as we get you ready for the NFL weekend. It's a big weekend. There's a big slate of games. Mike Sando will join us here in just a moment. Our NFL insider, senior writer for The Athletic, as he is brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. If you're looking for a great spot to watch the game, TwinPeaksRestaurant.com is their website. You can find them in Olathe, Independence, and in the Northland there at the Boardwalk Shops. 29-degree man-sized draft beer. It's happy hour right now. What are you waiting on? Of course, premium cocktails served over ice balls. Curtis, you know about that.
Absolutely.
And of course, if the fights are on, they're on there, whether it's boxing or MMA. It is your fight headquarters. Great, great spot to go. Eats, drinks, scenic views, TVs everywhere. Made from scratch menu. It is always a great time to head over to Twin Peaks and enjoy you. I do love the 29-degree man-sized draft beer, and I love the temperature gauge telling you exactly what it is. Sometimes it's even colder. I don't know how they do it.
I'm not even a beer guy, but if it's cold,
yeah,
I'll have one.
I guess the alcohol content allows it to go. You can't go to negative 50.
Right, but, right.
It is a good draft beer, and I like me a draft beer. So go see him tonight over at Twin Peaks. You can check out Bills and Pats on Thursday night football. We welcome Mike Sando to the program right now. Mike, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, good to be with you. Happy holidays, as we're in the holiday season right now. And let's start with a little bit of quarterback talk. You did a breakdown. What was the title of it? Where the quarterback situation stands right now for all 32 NFL teams was the gist of it.
Yeah.
And everybody, you know, I said this when we talked, when we set the lineup, start the show today. Settle down. Mahomes is one. Okay. And there he's got everybody happy and satisfied right there. What jumped out at me, though, was that the quarterback position, like, I guess it's the retirement of Drew Brees, the falling off of Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady this year. Maybe it's the retirement of Ben Roethlisberger, Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan falling off. We had those veteran guys that a couple of years ago were still playing at somewhat of a high level that all aren't. It looks a little kind of thin right now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think we feel like, we're probably less excited than we once were about Lamar Jackson or Stafford. Guys who haven't necessarily been in the top tier, but they're good quarterbacks, right? They had a case in their best year that, hey, should this guy be in top tier or whatever. I think it hasn't been a successful season for Derek Carr, even though their offensive stats are fine, right? Some of those guys, Ryan Tannehill has been down. Some of those middle guys, Kyler Murray, right? You can just go through this list, and it's guys who, at their best, maybe were a Pro Bowler. They're just not having those kind of seasons, it seems like.
Is that because the defense has caught up?
I think some of it is, yes, that's true. I think that is part of this. I think there's also been this year, other than Tua, some of the quarterbacks that are in new systems, for whatever reason, just haven't done as well, haven't picked up as well. I mean, the most extreme example would be Matt Ryan, right? I mean, I think we all thought he was kind of nearing the end, but we didn't think he was a bottom three quarterback in the league. He's produced like one, right? Russell Wilson, we talked before the year. I said, I don't know, I think we've maybe seen the best of him, but I wasn't running to the betting window to say he was going to be a bottom five quarterback, right?
Right.
He's in a new spot. So some of those have been almost train wrecky things. Derek Carr, we mentioned, is in a new system. I think there might be something to that as well. So whatever reason, ebbs and flows, I do think defenses have caught up some this year. And I think that's one of the reasons we've seen some of these huge rushing games, right? If you're going to sit there like Seattle this last week, they're going to play in their two safety look. Well, the Raiders ran for 300 yards, including for the game winner, because that's how they were going to play. Right? We'll take away the pass. I think defenses have gotten a little wise to the advantages the offenses have had in recent years, which was, okay, defense, you're going to load up to stop the run? Well, we're going to throw it on first down and second down more, and we're going to make big plays. I think some of those have been harder to come by. We saw the Chiefs work through that last year. They've come up with a different kind of offense. They've beat the system. They're good enough to do it. Some of these other teams, maybe not.
Committed without reservation is the category that Patrick Mahomes is in. He's listed at the top. It's Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Justin Herbert. Then you have committed with some reservation. That's Deshaun Watson. Committed and content, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins. Committed with questions, Lamar Jackson. You know, we've talked about him a lot, but is it just about the contract, or is it still questions about how he plays?
I think there's a little bit of question of how great he's, how high he's going to be, you know, and how consistent he is. Definitely questions with the contract. There's different types of questions with each one of the guys in the category. I think you have to say there's questions right with him, right? What kind of contract is he going for? Are they going to meet him there in the middle? Are they going to, what do they do if Greg Roman leaves, which is now, you know, I don't know what's happened today, but he's in the mix for that Stanford job, right? There's just enough uncertainty about him, them, where it goes from here. Have they peaked, right? You'd probably bet. Would you bet right now we've seen the best of Lamar Jackson? You might, right?
Yeah, I probably would, yes, because I expect him to continue to run and continue to physically wear down and head the path of Cam Newton, who was pretty much, what, 31 years old, was had fallen off a cliff.
Yeah, and so the other guys I put in that category, you know, Aaron Rodgers, different types of questions. Tom Brady, Derek Carr, they can get out of his deal, right? It's a new coach. I threw Tannehill in there because he's late in his contract, has a big number. So those were just some guys that I think, you know, we have enough questions to not put him in one of those top two categories, either about performance or future.
Committed with concerns, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Matt Stafford. You point out that Stafford's health is the concern, but Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, I mean, these are brand new contracts that they're already going, oh, God, what do we do? Right? Like, they're married and stuck with each other for a while. Now, we would assume both quarterbacks, because I don't know who's going to trade for anything to take on these contracts. And, you know, they're so top heavy, you can't trade them because of how much you've got to take it for a cap hit. So it will mean new coaches, right? Like, if I looked at this, I would tell you, I know they just re-signed Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona, so he might be there for one more year. But I bet a lot of money he's not there in 24. And I'll bet it all he's not that Nathaniel Hackett's not in Denver in 23. Does it look the same way to you?
It does, and I wonder about Kingsbury beyond this season. It seems a little untenable. It's been a really rough year on a lot of fronts. I mean, shoot, they fired their offensive line coach. They fired their running back coach for incidents involving, you know, mistreatment of women, domestic-type things, or groping was the word in Mexico for the line coach. I mean, come on, right? I mean, you can't have that type of stuff. They had their star receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, was suspended for the first six games. They've just had bad losses, too. If you just go back to the end of last year, that Ram playoff loss, that was dispiriting. There were questions. And I think when you enter into these really big deals, you never want to do it when you have questions, right? When Patrick Mahomes was re-signed, it was like, whew, we finally got that done. You weren't worried about his performance, right? You weren't worried that he was going to be a bad leader or something like that. It was just like, you're just worried about, is this going to be an issue? You know, is there going to be a holdout? Is this going to be a distraction? Is there going to be hurt feelings? Nope, deal's over. Great, let's go play ball, right? Kyler Murray gets this deal done, and it's like, wait, there's a clause in there that says he has to study and not play video games?
Right.
I mean, that confirms that they had questions. And so I feel like they need to – I don't know how they come back in, barring a late rally this year. How do you show up to Arizona and say, let's run it back, right? And you're not going to get rid of Kyler Murray. It feels to me like something else has to give there. And with those staff issues this year, that's pretty concerning.
Yeah, it is. Next category, that's it, pretty much, by the way, on the staff issues, it shows that either Kingsbury has no idea who to hire or somebody's hiring the coaching staff for him, but he definitely, it's a loose ship that he's not in command of. And I bring that up because I'm probably one of the few nerds that's actually watching the Cardinals in-season Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
And he looks like a guy who's overmatched. He does not look like a guy. And the players do not look engaged when they show the shots. Now, you can have a guy talk at one time and show a reaction from 10 minutes later. And so this may be unfair. But if that isn't accurate, which I would hope that they would do it the right way, and you're getting their reaction to what he's saying, they don't look engaged into what he's saying. I mean, I think the only thing, the reason why I think he could be back next year is the Midwells are kind of cheap.
Yeah, they did, and they've eaten some money recently, too. You know, they fired Steve Wilkes after 1 year, too.
Right.
Probably ate some money there. You know, all we can go on with the leadership of Cliff Kingsbury is what we see. So the things on in-season Hard Knocks is not totally definitive, but it's what we see. And then you watch the games, you watch the press conferences, you watch Kyler Murray kind of get going back and forth with them. You look for who are the leaders on the team. Obviously, Buda Baker, we've seen him on Hard Knocks, but there's not enough of those guys. And so, you know, maybe that's part of building their team, that they could have helped Cliff Kingsbury to have a little bit better of that on their team. I think if you're playing well, if the quarterback's playing good, it doesn't matter as much, but you're not watching that going, wow, you know, I'm moved, right? It seems like it's not compelling.
Yeah. Steve Keim's the GM, right?
Yep.
Isn't that his name? I was looking at his whole career has been with the Cardinals. And, you know, Brett Veach's whole career has been with Andy Reid, right, with the Eagles and then Kansas City. So there's not been a lot of change there. So it's not to say that if you're just in one spot, you can't succeed. But they ain't a history of success. Like, wouldn't you have thought you'd have gone out? That just speaks to, and you see him sitting there with I forget, Bud Bidwell, Bucky Bidwell.
I can't, yeah.
Which one's the
Mike
son?
Bidwell.
Mike Bidwell, thank you.
Yeah, Michael.
Scrappy-Doo.
Yeah, you see him sitting there with him in the box. Brett Veach isn't sitting with Clark Hunt in the owner's suite. He's sitting in the press box around other front office people. I'm not trying to say that means he's in the guy's pocket, but he kind of looks a little bit more like Sonny Jurgensen being the wingman for Dan Snyder than he does a general manager, and he got the job because the owner's comfortable with the guy, not believing necessarily in his personnel abilities.
That's where you hit it on the head. And I think that happens in a lot of organizations. You know, you would sort of assume, hey, this is a competitive business, and everyone is continually pushing for the edge no matter how they can get it. But no, it's just like other walks of life. People gravitate towards who they are comfortable with, right? And Jerry Jones has been a focus of this recently with his hiring. Hey, how come you've never hired a black coach? This sort of thing. I just hire the guys that I know. That's who I'm comfortable with. Well, who's sitting next to Mike Bidwell? Who's he comfortable with? Who does he trust? Even if Steve Keim has made mistakes, which certainly he had an extreme DUI within the last 3 or 4 years, but just on the field, building the team. Now they've had some success too. Hired Ken Wisenhunt, got to the Super Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. Now I believe Rod Graves was the GM at that time, but then got Bruce Arians, right? So they've had some success. Shoot, their record was improving every year the first 3 years of Kingsbury. It hasn't been a complete disaster on the field, but that comfort level with the GM and the owner, I think, is a huge part of it. And you see that by them sitting together, and that helps Steve Keim with the owner for sure.
The next category in the quarterbacks, we're talking to Mike Sando here, evaluating optimistic. In other words, we're still evaluating, but we're optimistic. Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Fields, Geno Smith, Trevor Lawrence. That's that category. Yeah. The problem or the question I would have is Jalen Hurts and Tua. Now, maybe what we've just talked about with Kyler Murray's contract and Russell Wilson, I know it's not his second contract, but signing a contract and having it blow up in your face, and what's going to happen with Carson Wentz since he signed his big contract. When Mahomes signed his, it was Carson Wentz signed, played like an MVP. Okay, he was hurt. He's still trying to figure it out. Jared Goff had signed, took the team to the Super Bowl. After that third year, both these guys had done that. Then I can't remember. Then I think it was Mahomes, and then it was Josh Allen. And so that was kind of the theme on how you do it, and that's where the Cardinals were with Kyler Murray, and they made that move. The Ravens haven't gotten it done with Lamar Jackson, but will the Dolphins get it done with Tua? Will the Eagles get it done with Tua? Because they're exiting their third year.
They got to wait. I mean, there's no reason to do it. I mean, because let's face it, we do have some questions, right? You may like both of them, but number one, Tua, can he stay on the field a whole year? That's one, just a physical thing. And then number two, do they implode down the stretch this year, playing, you know, road games against Buffalo, New England, different weather? Do they even come back next year? And okay, this took the league by storm. Here's how we're going to play Tua, right? We spent the whole offseason going, I can't believe it. Tyreek Hill's got no one within 10 yards of him. You know what? We got to do these three things, guys. And then all of a sudden, they're good but not great. And, then he misses six games to an injury or whatever. You know, those sorts of things. Take the time to evaluate. If you are wrong, who cares, right? You have to pay an extra $5 million a year. You don't care if the guy's right, if the guy is better than you thought, right? There's no reason to do the big deal with somebody who, you know, you're not 100% sure on. Let him play it out. Let him prove it. And then you can also have him cheaper longer, you know?
Any chance the quarterbacks hold out and say, this is how it works. It's time to pay the fiddler. And what would happen if they did?
Always is. There always is. You know, there always is that chance that they will do that. And, you know, in the old days, you, as a team, bank on somebody, hey, you know, not being willing to miss their money, miss their checks. Now, are those two guys, aren't Dan Marino. You know, they're not Mahomes. So I think they have a little bit more risk doing that than someone else would have.
Yeah. Eagles, you know, we talked with Dayton Shander, who covers the Eagles for Fox 25 in Philadelphia, and I was like, does he get paid? He's like, oh, yeah, he definitely gets paid. Like, Philly fans are all on board. It's amazing how on board they are as a fan base. At least, you know, I'm not in Philly doing talk radio there that I have the pulse of it, but based upon what Eitan says, they seem convinced that Hurts is their guy.
Oh, yeah, and he may be, you know, and I think I've heard the owner really likes him, too, of the team. So they may do that, and it may be fine to do it. The thing I like about Hurts is, you know, so far he has been on the field, and he seems to be a good leader with his head screwed on straight and works at it, and he's getting better. So they'll have to make a little bit of an evaluation on that, but I don't see a huge reason to rush into a unreasonable deal, right? I mean, it's just...
No.
To me, there's more downside than upside.
Oh,
they can get solved too.
Yeah.
If they lose in the playoffs by 2 touchdowns in the first round this year, you know, does it change?
That's true.
You feel, probably.
If they win the Super Bowl, it does change, though, right?
It sure does. And that, you know what? If you win the Super Bowl, shoot, the Ravens played that game and lost with Joe Flacco. Now, 20 years before that, they played it with Trent Dilfer and said, "See ya," right?
Yeah.
And they didn't pay him. So that's an evaluation you can make at that time. If you got a Super Bowl ring in your pocket, great.
And you know the Ravens are sad now because now they can't hire Dilfer as their coach since he's coaching UAB. So, you know, that's that's tough.
Big loss for them, yeah.
They'll have to stick with one of the best head coaches in the NFL with John Harbaugh there, yeah. Okay. We're talking to Mike Sando. Yeah. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, I wasn't going to cut you off. I covered Trent when he was with the Seahawks, though, so I'd go back with him a long way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's been, you know, the Elite 11 camp is kind of his baby, right?
Yeah.
So, like, he knows quarterbacks, and, you know, theoretically, he works with quarterbacks. So, I mean, it's not a proposal. It's not Jeff Saturday. He's more qualified for this job than Jeff Saturday was for the Colts job, which, by the way, what do we think of Saturday now 3 games in? Like, what I said last night was he's been better than I thought he would be, but – like, the clock crisis that he had is why you don't do it.
Yeah, you know, every team is one game like that away from being under tremendous scrutiny. I think for them, the fact that it happened with Saturday in a national TV game probably blows it up more than it maybe otherwise would have been. That possibly could have happened in a total junk game earlier in the season that no one was paying attention to, and it was a note in some, you know, it led the local notebook, but it wasn't as big of a deal. So I think it's been some good, some bad. It probably hasn't been as bad as I thought it would be, but I think ultimately he wasn't going to come in and fix anything, right? Their issues were still going to be their issues. Matt Ryan doesn't look good. So, you know, I think they're going to lose most of their games, and I thought that coming in, maybe the first game gave you some sort of a hope. At least the first game told you they're not going to just go winless. Maybe they're in these games at least, but they were kind of in the games too a lot of times before. So not sure what's different other than now they can openly evaluate other coaches. And then if they think that Jeff Saturday is going to have some kind of a role in the future, which I doubt would be coaching, but could be front office, advisory, who knows, at least he will know the locker room. He'll know the coaches and know the team, so maybe that's what they get out of it longer term.
Is Sean McVay going to keep at it with a Rams team that looks like the arrow is definitively pointing down, that this is the beginning of a downslope, not just an anomaly? Does Sean McVay stay the course? I mean, he danced around allegedly with maybe media. You know, I mean, he can make a lot of money being a TV analyst, and I think he'd be really good. I think the networks would pay a lot of money for him.
I do think there's a good chance that he takes that route. I think we need to see, you know, what does next year look like? Is Stafford going to be in the fold? Does he feel like they can get it back, right? Because I don't think he's going to be around for multiple losing seasons. And so if he gets to this offseason, and, you know, we've seen some of the stuff with Matt Stafford and his wife talking about, you know, big picture stuff and health and the emotional deal. Shoot, he's got a Super Bowl ring. If you're worried about the team around you and your ability to be healthy long term, Matt Stafford's made how many hundreds of millions of dollars, right? I know he would leave a lot on the table if he left, but, you know, if he were to do that or be diminished in some way, I don't know. Does McVay automatically stay for that? I mean, I could see him doing another year, but I don't think he's going to do a lot of that if they're in a rebuild mode without a lot of draft picks really to get it back going. And remember, Aaron Donald's talked about walking away too. Now he's been shut down. So this year didn't go how they wanted, and maybe that's enough for him to reconsider.
Two biggest names for teams that are going to be looking for coaches, is it Jim Harbaugh and Sean Payton?
Yeah, I think it's hard to get bigger than that, bigger than those two names. You know, we'll see if – I think Harbaugh has said he has unfinished business in the NFL, so I would think that he could be in the mix for sure. And then, you know, Sean Payton, the interesting thing there is you just have to give up picks. So, you know, I wrote in my column on Monday that I think I was talking to an agent about this, that usually these types of deals with the big fish like that, like a Gruden or somebody – they kind of get done in secret, you know, and they're done for a while. And that is a little bit more complicated with Sean Payton because the Saints have a vote, right? You have to, if the Saints don't want to let him go or they want it to be two first-round picks, that's not going to be for everybody. And you're going to need the cooperation. So it's a little bit more complicated with him.
Yeah, it's very complicated. Why didn't the Vikings go down the Harbaugh route? And is it just the fact that he backed up last year at Michigan that would now make him a much more attractive candidate?
Well, I what I'd heard happen in Minnesota was that he kind of came in acting thinking like the job was his, and, you know, was talking to people about what he was going to do on the staff, hey, this and that, and they hadn't offered it to him yet. And so what my understanding was, it kind of, you know, rub some folks maybe the wrong way at the higher levels in Minnesota, and they ended up not offering them the job. So, you know, you could certainly see that happening, right? With, you know, and then Harbaugh was disappointed, so then he goes back to Michigan, gets a deal, but there's only like a $3 million buyout. So, if there's another offer, you know, maybe it turns out differently.
By the way, if anybody brought in Jim Harbaugh and thought he was going to just jibe with everybody, isn't it shame on them at this point? I know Kwesi Adofo-Mensah was a first-year general manager, and he's also took a job that somebody else said no because they weren't offering him enough money. What's he from the Chiefs that went to the Bears?
Yeah.
You know, is it like, I can't have this kind of alpha personality here trying to run roughshod over the personnel? And Kwesi's an analytics guy. Was that maybe part of it as well?
Well, back it up even before that. So when Kwesi and the other GM candidates interviewed for the GM job in Minnesota, they had a hiring panel, okay? That panel included two members of the previous GM's personnel staff, okay? So when you go in for an interview and the people you're replacing are on the interview panel, it signals to you that you're fitting into their situation. You're not coming in to create your own as much, okay? So that's what happened. That's what we were talking about with, like, Steve Keim. God, why is Steve Keim there? Because he's in with the owners. So there's people in Minnesota that have that had equity there and were going to be there. So that's why they probably didn't bring in a GM who was like a strong personnel guy who was going to come in and tell them who to pick as the players as much, right? Because there were people there that probably wanted to do that. Maybe still get to have more of a voice in that. So the same thing could happen from a coaching standpoint. If you bring in Jim Harbaugh, to me, that has to be done at the ownership level. Because who that has power in our organization and say, shoot, let's bring in Jim Harbaugh so I have less power. It's just not really how it works.
Yeah. I think it's funny. You know, Harbaugh, I mean, it's bull in China shop. You do have to pretty much sell your soul to Jim Harbaugh, and, you know, that's He's just not going to change, right? Anybody who thinks he's going to be different than that, shame on them in trying to hire him and go that direction. All right, what do we think of the Dolphins after three games? I'm going to ask you about that, about the Dolphins and the Chiefs, because both of them are headed out on three-game road trips. Dolphins on one, they obviously being on the East Coast, the travel's harder, and they're going west and going to stay out west in between this game Sunday and their next game. Right now, we're talking about them fighting for the AFC East. And live for the number one seed. Are we going to be? What are we going to be talking about? Three road games from now.
I think there's a good chance they lose two of the next three. You know, if you look at their win streak, it's been Pittsburgh, Detroit, Chicago, Cleveland, Houston. And that's how it works in the league. You play the lesser teams, and that's how you pile up a lot of wins. So I think they're destined to stumble a little bit along the way. I still think they're a success story, but having to play San Francisco, Chargers, Buffalo. I'd be a little surprised if they won two of the three. I'll put them down for a couple losses. I think the Chiefs are in great position to maybe even win their next three, and they're in great position in the AFC. Remember we talked about before the year, shoot, I screwed up the whole NFC side, but I just like something about Kansas City. So we'll see in the end if it comes out that way. But I don't think Miami's going to overtake them, and I think Buffalo is a game behind them now, even with the victory. I don't know that the Chiefs give that up.
Yeah, and that is, when we look at the schedule of the Dolphins, you mentioned at San Fran, at the Chargers, at the Bills. The Packer game looked like it could be salty, but it's now kind of feeling like Aaron Rodgers isn't going to play anymore, which wasn't that kind of the problem, was that he wasn't practicing and wasn't going to, wasn't playing in preseason games. And so, I mean, I get it. He's hurt. I'm making a joke there. But that Packer game got a lot easier than maybe it looked a week or two ago. Then at New England and the Jets, that's a pretty salty run. As we know, that division's tough. Bills aren't easy either. Easy for me to say. At New England tonight, Jets and Dolphins at home. At the Bears, that's their one easy one. At Cincy and New England at home. I mean, it's pretty nice for the Chiefs, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. So, like, the Chiefs this week could very well stub their toe. They could lose at Cincinnati. I mean, that's a tough matchup. They have a good defense. But I'm putting them down for five wins in the next six. I mean, Denver, Houston, Seattle, Denver, and the Raiders. I think each of those teams is flawed enough. I mean, I suppose they could drop one of them, but you'd be disappointed from a Chiefs standpoint. So I think they're getting what's their 9-2? I mean, shoot, they may be 14-3 this year. Doesn't that sound pretty good? You wouldn't want to. If you had to bet, you wouldn't bet that they lose more than one game left, do you? Would you?
No, I wouldn't. And that's probably, the math might say that they'd get there to two, but the math is based upon what everybody does, not what Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes do. So Mahomes-Reid math says one loss, and I don't know that the Bills can get through this year without at least two losses, right?
Well, and even if they just have one more loss, they're still one win behind the Chiefs. So the tiebreaker doesn't even come into play. Now, that being said, I think once we get into a playoff situation, I don't think Buffalo or Cincinnati is overly intimidated to come into Kansas City. No offense, but right? I mean, you could still lose in the playoffs. It guarantees you home. But as we've seen, I think some of these teams are tough. And if they're playing well at the right time, you get Von Miller back, that sort of a thing. Shoot, they already won in Kansas City this year once, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
Buffalo did. So,
no doubt.
So, I don't think I think it guarantees you home field and gives you an edge, but shoot, I don't want to bring up home losses in the playoffs as, the pain, but the New England game, it's not guaranteed when you're playing the good teams.
If you're the Chiefs, you really want to win this game for all the reasons we've already stated, and it's the NFL, and listen, that's ultimately it. You're paid to do a job, and you're trying to win a championship, and all that helps you, but there's a little bit of like the Bengals are the one team that have – the Bengals and Tom Brady are the two things that have kind of had the number of Patrick Mahomes, right? You'd really like to dump if you're the Chiefs, wouldn't you?
I would. So, we've talked about one of the things I like about the Chiefs is even though they've had success and everyone's making a lot of money, they seem to have a chip on their shoulder over criticism they're sensitive to. They dispelled the Tyreek Hill concerns. That was a meltdown game for Mahomes at the end of the half, right?
Yeah.
Last year?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it was bad. He didn't look. That wasn't how the top guys do it. So I think they got to, I think it's, Chiefs should put forth, a really good focused effort on the offensive side of the ball, but the Bengals are playing great on defense. They've got a good thing going, and I think it's going to be a tough game on the road. I do think this is one of those you'd like to check off and say, okay, you know, we proved that one wrong too. So we'll see. When they lost to Buffalo earlier in the year, wasn't it kind of like the Bills had more of an edge or more of a proof, right? It was kind of a Bills game. They had lost. And sometimes I feel like those ebbs and flows happen in the season where you're like, you're not 100% sure going in, but then after the game, you're like, yep, that team kind of needed it more, or right? That just sort of feels that way. Maybe it's just a narrative, but it feels that way. And I don't know if the Bengals are that to the Chiefs, but the way the season ended last year with Mahomes looking like that and questions and negativity being written about, you know, be a nice one to go in there and set the record straight.
Time for our Final Four with Mike Sando. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System, the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Chiefs, and you can give the gift of health this holiday season. New clients save 25% on sports performance classes and personal training packages at the Sports Medicine and Performance Center right there at 125th and Antioch. It is a beautiful 9,000-plus square foot facility. You can save 25% on running gait analysis, golf fitness evaluation, specific sport instruction for different youth sports. You can do that. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsperformance. I will start you with this, Mike. Give me your prediction on the game. Chiefs-Bengals. Who wins? What's the score?
That wasn't on your list. You're going to put me on the spot for this? I know.
Well, I need it. I actually need it for our pregame show, and I forgot about that when I said that. That's okay.
Well, I'll take the Chiefs to go in there and get the win. Coming off of the loss last year, I'm going to put my faith in Patrick Mahomes, but I'm a little nervous about it because I do think the Bengals are playing good defensively. Joe Burrow is a killer, and so we'll see if the Chiefs' pass rush can get to him and affect him. But I'll just lean Kansas City here because I have all year.
Okay, I'll take it. All right, tell me, Aaron Rodgers plays in another playoff game, yes or no?
Oh, I think he does. Yeah, I don't think he's done yet, and I think he could be back with Green Bay next year, too.
Yeah, it's amazing. He was talking about retiring, and now none of us think he's going to go. It's funny how that ends up.
Well, he's got $50-some million in the contract next year. You know, he'd walk away from this huge option bonus. I don't know about that. Yeah. I don't know many people that would do that, even though he has a lot of money. People who have a lot of money like more money, like all of us.
Will Odell Beckham Jr. have another 1,000-yard season in his career?
I say no way. I mean, the last 2 years, he's averaged like 50 to 55 yards per game. That's what an average starting receiver gets. He was at 100 and something when he was in his prime, and in the 70s and 80s, which is Hall of Fame level, I just don't see that again.
No, go ahead, Bills. Sign him up. Sign him to a multi-year deal with all kinds of a backloaded contract. I'd love to see that happen for Buffalo. All right, would you rather watch a college basketball game or an NBA game?
Oh, that's just such a great question. I think it really depends who it is. If it's the Final Four or something like that, like this is our Final Four question, I'd probably watch like the NCAA championship game. But I'm not as attached to any individual teams as I used to be. I used to really follow the NBA, never missed finals games. So in that day, it would be NBA all the way, but I just don't follow them as closely. I would love to go to like basketball games in college at the key spots, right? Go to a game at Duke. That type of stuff I think I would love. I miss college basketball. I used to cover it. I really liked it. So maybe I'd lean towards the college side.
I like it. Mike, you're the man. Great stuff as always. We encourage everybody to check out his great work at The Athletic. His Pick 6 column is great, and that quarterback column is a lot of fun. Check it out. Mike alone is worth the subscription to The Athletic. Mike, we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
Hey, thank you.
You bet. Mike Sando from The Athletic. We will take a break. We come back, give you the things you need to know. We'll hear a lot from the Chiefs coaching staff next.
Impress your friends, amaze your coworkers, make your family proud. Here's what you need to know. I'ma tell you
what you need to know. Our need to know brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. You can give the gift of health, as I just said, 25% off on their sports performance classes and personal training packages. They've got everything from young youth helping you, like, listen, whether it's a scholarship that you're dreaming of for your kid, or just giving them the skills to go out and be the best athlete they can, all the way up to, you know, people that are older, just trying to live a better, more fit, healthy life, like even up into the older than me range. That's right. Training packages and sports medicine training packages at the Sports Medicine Performance Center going for 25% off right now. Whether it's a running gait analysis, golf fitness and evaluation, you can check that out. They even have this cool thing I was looking at. You can see how explosive you are on the bench press. Like, do your bench press workout, 10 reps, 12 reps, 14, whatever it is, and it can show you were this explosive early, you wore down this much, this this much. It's incredible, the technology
I'd
they
break
have.
That machine, man. I tell you what, my explosions. No.
No.
The machine would go, sir, are you still there?
Not happening. Go check it out right now. It's at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsperformance. Royals have a pitching coach. That has finally occurred. Brian Sweeney. I think at the end of this week, we're going to start to say we got a problem. Took a while. They got it done. They got a guy from the Guardians. Not shocking. Brian Sweeney coming over from Cleveland. He was the bullpen coach the last three seasons. Read a story that was sent to me, and I forget who it was. I tweeted it out, but about how he was kind of the pitching whisperer.
Mm-hmm.
He was the guy who fixed everybody with the Guardians. So some encouraging signs getting him locked in as the bullpen coach. So happy to see that. Sad news, Gaylord Perry has passed.
84 years old. Hall of Famer won his last
brief
game.
Brief Royal.
Was the answer to our end of the hour question, our Joe's Kansas City Barbecue end of the hour answer. Among members of the 300 win club, how many tossed a shutout in their final major league win? It was Cy Young, Eddie Plank, and Gaylord Perry. Did it on September 3rd, 1983 for the Royals, and then went over Texas.
Wow. Good sense. GoodSenseSubs.com. You can get it on your way home tonight. Ordered up the meat cheese. That'll be sliced right in front of you, or right before you pick it up. If you order it in advance, you can put the time down. Tell them what time you want to pick it up. It'll be ready to go. The bread, they bake that fresh twice each day. It's the best sandwich in town. The veggies, so fresh. Honestly could just take a fork and go to town on the green peppers. Yes. The green peppers are so wonderful. Get some green peppers on your sandwich tonight, people. Get healthy.
Yum.
Right? GoodSenseSubs.com, the app. Great way to order as well. Let's talk some Chiefs football. Dave Tobe at the podium today. We'll start with the punt returning duties. He was asked, who is his punt returner?
Justin. You know, we're going to look at Justin Watson. McDuffie. We'll go there. Start there.
Is it when you take the reps in practice, I mean, you still have sky practice and take some?
Oh yeah, yeah. We're not giving up. We don't quit. We just don't quit on players. You know, we're going to keep working them and keep developing them. I mean, he is a, you know, he's a rookie. He's going to get better. You know, I've said it before. We went to the limit with him, obviously, and you know, we need to get him out of there for a while and let his head settle down a little bit. The best thing was that I saw was the fact that he came in there on as a wide receiver, made a great catch for us, and you know, didn't let that one play. You know, and I know Coach talked about that too, but that was really impressive to me.
Yeah, it was great because otherwise you'd be in some trouble. Let's focus on him as a wide receiver. He looks like he's got talent there. Battery in backwards. I know it worked for Tyreek Hill going from explosive kick returner and developing into a wide receiver, but you need receivers. You need this guy to develop quickly. You put a second round into him, and you don't have many signed next year. Let's let him work on wide receiver the rest of the year. Matt Nagy, Chiefs quarterback coach at the podium. I asked Matt Nagy if the Chiefs' issues with the Bengals, as he's seen them, is just one of those examples of kind of like a bad matchup of styles. Styles makes fights.
I do think it's a good question. I would say this, that every team has their own identity, and there's, like you said, the boxing analogy, some matchups just don't work out right. For us right now, and for Patrick specifically, and I think this is one of the good things of where he's at this year, is right now for him, it's week by week to be as consistent as he can be, regardless of what has happened in the past. And I say that to the point that we have not brought up in our room one time about anything that has happened. We know what has happened, and we're on to this year. Now, schematically, what do we need to do? We'll work through that. But, you know, I think that for Patrick, he's in a good place right now. Our offense and our team is in a good place. And so what we want to do is keep that going and make sure that play by play, drive by drive, game by game, we keep this going, because it's been fun. And we all are learning different ways to win. We're calloused. And Patrick's a huge reason for that.
Did he really get at the heart of the question?
Not entirely.
Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see how it ends up working out when it's all said and done.
They often dance around the edge of the
questions.
Oh, they
do. They've been taught by Andy Reid. Joe Blamire is the wide receivers coach for the Kansas City Chiefs. I asked Blamire what he thinks about MVS, and after giving him a multi-year contract, what they're getting out of him.
Quez can do everything. He's a well-rounded receiver. We ask him to do a lot of the vertical routes with a number of the complementary skilled players that we have. He's got hidden yardage out there that maybe the ball hasn't found him, but he was running routes. Not just vertical routes where he was open or he could have got some yardage. So I think the timing and just the situation of the ball finding him.
That, I didn't realize it was going to end there. It sounded like it was mid-sentence. My bad. I thought there was something that went wrong. I was expecting more. I'll say that. Right now with 31 catches, he's on pace for about, right around 50 catches. He's on pace for about 700 yards, 2 touchdowns. Those are kind of his Packer-esque numbers. It'd be towards the high end of the Packer numbers, but he bumped up. And there have been injuries that have given him more opportunities here. Yeah. So I'd still like to see more. I appreciate the coach sticking up for his players, but I would like to see more than what we've seen from him. Steve Spagnuolo talking about the pass rush. I quoted to him a stat that's out there that the Chiefs have the lowest or highest QBR allowed when they don't sack the quarterback. Now, they sack and pressure the quarterback quite a bit, so that helps, but they're fourth in sacks or fifth in sacks, I think, this year. So, they do get after the quarterback, but if there's a game they don't, it only takes one loss in the playoffs, will that be a problem? That's what I was kind of getting at with Steve Spagnuolo when I asked him if he can be too reliant on the pass rush.
I don't think you can ever be too reliant on it because, I think it goes hand in hand, right, pass rush and the coverage. But the QBR, we get that, right? To me, the thing that affects, from my standpoint, that affects the QBR rating the best is to intercept the football. Because that's when the QBR rating comes down. We haven't had a lot of those. We've got to find a way to. But I don't remember. You guys can help me. I don't remember that we've dropped a lot. Maybe there's a few. LJ, I think, had one in a game. I'm just going overall the whole year. But I think we can bring the QBR rating down if we pick a few balls off. But that's tight coverage and doing some things a little bit better and maybe confidence. You got young guys and they're more worried about just covering and not going to get the ball. So if we can start attacking the ball, LJ got one last week and Nick got one off for a tip ball.
Get some picks. It'll all look a lot better. Yeah, that'll be huge. And they've been getting a little bit better at that. All right, let's take a break. We'll give you the kicker next.
We're almost done for the day, but there's just a few more things we'd like to share.
But there's still more.
Here's the kicker.
Here's the kicker of this whole thing.
On the program.
All right, wrapping things up here on a Thursday. The Kicker brought to you by our buddy Gary Joslin. Joslin's Jewelry, 95th in Antioch. Most brilliant diamonds you're going to find. There at Joslin's, he is a full-service jeweler. You need repairs? They do that. More than 190,000 repairs at Joslin's Jewelry. 40-plus years, locally owned and operated. He's a KC guy. Go see Jos at 95th in Antioch. Von Miller. Our kicker today placed on the injured reserve. He's going to miss at least the next 4 games after suffering meniscus damage to his right knee. Remember, they had this smoke screen going on yesterday about, he's going to try to play. Then he goes on the IR, gamesmanship, trying to get people to burn time, prepping for a guy who's not going to play. But while everybody's like, they got a pass rusher. They got Von Miller. Look at what the Bills did. He's 33. With a boatload of cash coming his way. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Right now, if it's 4 weeks and he's back, he's going to be on the field. But at what level is he going to be Von Miller? Listen, I know we know the names. Well, I know we've seen him make great plays. But you're signing guys for the plays they're going to make, not the plays that they have made. And this is another example. Again, he might get back. He might be the missing ingredient. They might win the Super Bowl. They might even go through Kansas City or host the Chiefs en route to doing it. The Chiefs are doing things the right way. Big picture. You got a big ticket quarterback. You don't have to overpay for 30-plus-year-old guys. This may be what bites the Bills on the butts and keep them out of the Super Bowl this year.